Does the light come on? Is that, yes, it's on. So my name is Chris, and I'm a food addict. And I'm really glad to be here. My questions deal sort of with relapse. So the first question is, how do I sponsor members in relapse? And are there differences in approach? First of all, I want to just say a couple of things about relapse. I believe that recovery is a process. I also believe that relapse is a process. And the absolute end of the process is picking up the food and eating it. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened before we got to that place. And I had a relapse early on in program. And what happened was is... Here's what I thought is why it happened, that my son, who was 9, had been diagnosed with a mental illness with bipolar disorder and was in Children's Hospital in the psychiatric unit. And that's what I told people for a long time was why I relapsed. But that was not true. The fact was that prior to that, I had started getting kind of conceited. I'd lost about 120 pounds by then. I didn't go to as many meetings. I wasn't calling my sponsor as much. He was having an awful lot of problems in school and at home. And, you know, there's a woman who's in program who says, when I have a crisis in my life, I must work a crisis-level program. And I didn't work a crisis-level program. I sort of drew more into myself. I didn't have time, you know. And you know what? I've used that. For every issue in my whole life, I didn't have time. And the fact is that's really baloney because we all have the same amount of time. It's just how we prioritize it. So when I hear myself starting to go on that number, you know, that's a big warning. And so I didn't get enough sleep. I was tired. I was scared out of my mind. I had huge expenses over all of this. And I had already started down that road. And then when this situation came up, it got worse. You know, the stress was worse. I couldn't go to as many meetings. I didn't have enough time to call my sponsor. I didn't have enough time to do the only things that have ever worked to save my life. The only things. No diet ever worked. No amount of spirituality ever worked. You know, I worked a real strong religious program. But how could I always say, how could I have worked this religious program and then weigh 320 pounds? There's something the matter with that, you know. Anyway, and it didn't start with me eating ice cream. I never picked up sugar in that relapse, never. But I started with trail mix because I didn't have enough time to order regular food. I didn't have enough time to cook my food and bring it. I didn't have enough time to plan my food. And so all the things that I had used, you know, that the program says, if you want what we have, then do what we did, and here's what we did. You know, I slacked off on all of those. And so I also had a sponsor who was able to eat sugar-free frozen yogurt. And I thought, it's an answer from God. It's God's will for me as well, you know. And so I ate sugar-free yogurt. I never went back to ice cream. But by the time, you know, it was one on one day. And then next week it was twice during that week. And all of a sudden it was three a day for all my meals. And then all of a sudden it was sugar-free. What's that dessert thing? Stouffer's or not Stouffer's, whatever it is. Those sugar-free desserts. Yeah, whatever they are, they're frozen desserts. You know, and I was eating them frozen out of the drive-out lane in giant food because I could not wait. I could not wait. And I've heard people talk about, you know, in this disease, we eventually eat against our will. And that's what happened. And so little by little, I started doing all of these things. And then I was a real wreck. Then I was a huge wreck. What else I believe about the program is that we get sick physically, we get sick emotionally, and we get sick spiritually. And in relapse, you know, the first thing that goes is the spiritual. I had forgotten that I'd made a decision to turn my life over. I forgot that that power could do for me what I could not do. Not that I was too stupid to do or too lazy, but what I could not do for myself. I forgot that I had made a commitment to abide with you guys to help me not eat. And by the way, to learn a whole new set of coping tools. So eventually I relapsed. So when I have somebody say to me, you know, I'm in relapse because I don't know why, but I just ate 5 pizzas for dinner tonight. You know, that's not true. It's not about the pizzas. It's about all the stuff that happens before that. So when I think about relapse, and maybe it's different. I've never observed that. That's been my experience with myself and what I've observed in my own sponsees and other people. Maybe it's different. I don't know. But what I do think it calls for a different kind of approach, because no matter how many years of recovery somebody has when they relapsed, it's because they let go of all that other stuff. So how do you, can you pick up right where you were? My view is no, you can't. And I suppose there's degrees of relapse and how long it goes on and all that stuff. But because I've dwelt in the, you know, the land of the heavy, of the really heavy, of 400 pounds, of 500 pounds, there's no doubt in my mind, none. You know, I believe that it calls for drastic measures. One of the things, this is just sort of a side comment, but I wonder why in this program we shy away from bringing up relapse to people who are clearly in it. Because I work in a hospital, and if I see people who had come in and who were lying on the floor outside the emergency room bleeding to death, would I just say, oh, well, they'll call me when they're ready? No. You know, no is the answer to that. And so does it call for some drastic things? Does it call for me as the sponsor? And I hate this, to say, so what's going on? You know, why is it that you've gained 50 pounds? Or why is it that you've gained twice what you've lost already? Or why is it that you're not calling? Or why is it that some of these things are happening? I'm worried from you. I think you're in relapse, and you are going to die from this. You know, I don't want to say that. I don't want to have people pissed off at me. I could say it on your behalf. I could be an advocate on your behalf. But God forbid I should put myself in the place of somebody rejecting me, of thinking I'm a snot-box bitch, or any of those other things. But what the question I say is, for God's sakes, what's at stake? And when I relapsed, I gained 50 pounds in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, I hear people say, well, I gained 3 pounds last weekend. And I think, what in the hell are you talking about? You know, three, let's talk about 10 or 15, you know, in the last weekend, because that's what I relate to. One of the other things is that I have never, this has nothing to do with this, but I've never sponsored anybody who's had anorexia or bulimia, because I don't know anything about that. That's not my story, you know. Somebody out here has that story, and so you can do it. But I know the story of eating and eating and eating till, you know, none of them are worse. I used to wish that I had bulimia because at least I'd be thin. You know, I've found out since I came into program that that's twisted. That's sickness as well for me to even think that. So one of the things that... one other thing about myself and relapse is I remember the only person who ever said one word to me was Amy Angel. She came up to me one day. She poked me in the stomach. She said, oh, I see. You've gotten enough recovery now, so now you're dating, and now you think it's okay to put on a little bit of weight. And I thought, shut the hell up. How dare you say that to me? Wasn't it wonderful that she dared to say it to me? And so I pray for the courage that should that happen to me again, that somebody would say it to me, that I have the courage that I would say it to others. Because if we can't give one another the gift of honesty, particularly our sponsees, what are we giving them? You know, what are we giving them? So one of the things I often do is ask if someone's in relapses to let's go back and take a look at where did that letting go of all these tools begin? You know, where did it really start? You know, was it because you never got beyond step three? Was it because you stopped believing that you had a higher power? Was it because you're mad as hell at your higher power because somebody died and you didn't think that the higher power was supposed to allow that? Who the hell does that power think that power is? You know, but you never knew what to do with that. Where did it happen? Where did it happen? And how did you ever so easily sometimes just lay those tools down? So let's take a look at that. Because if it's only about the pizza or the ice cream, we're not really dealing, in my view, with what the real problem is. So that's one of the things that I've often done. Sometimes I've had people go back to step one. I often find that if somebody's having a problem with a particular step, it's usually because there's a problem with the step that was before it. You know, I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to a care. You know, sometimes if I find problem with that, maybe the problem is that, you know, I don't have a higher power that works for me. The one I had before, you know, when I was a kid, you know, that one's not working now. But have I done the work and the soul searching? And some of the stuff is gut-wrenching, as every person in this room knows. You know, have I done the work to look at, what is it? What higher power do I have? And is that one big enough to do all the things we ask? I may not believe it for myself. I believed it when I came for all of you. But I did not believe my higher power could or would do it for me, you know, because I was so unique after all. And I also believed that I had to earn it, that I had to earn my higher power's respect, earn my love, that I had to be indispensable to all of you and to every boss I ever had, and blah, 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 so that I could finally be good enough. And what this program says is that's not how it works, that you're beloved, that you're holy, that you're a person deserving, you know, of these things just because. Just because. And what we get to do is reclaim that and live from that place again. So I think the approaches for getting out of the relapse might be different. You know, one is to go back and look at what happened in the step before. Sometimes, you know, in the person doing the work, you find out that I've found out that maybe the problem really was I stopped believing I was powerless. You know, I stopped believing I was powerless. Or I started believing that maybe I really could skip meetings here and there. Or I rested, I know this friend of mine used to say, I rested on my laurels far before I ever had any, you know. The next one is... How do I handle a sponsee? Well, let me just say one other thing about relapse. I think in the program that our reluctance to address relapse is probably one of the single biggest things that contributes to people not coming to OA as much as they used to. I was brought up in OA from way back in the day, and I went to AA at the same time, and if people were talking bullshit at the meetings, people would say, stop talking about that, or call your sponsor, or you need to go meeting to other meetings. I know we have that thing, no crosstalk, but I used to think, well, how rude are they? But you know what? There was something about that. Maybe that wasn't the best way to go about it. But what in the hell are we afraid of? That they're going to die and never come back? There's something off with that. So how do I handle a sponsee who I believe is developing an unhealthy dependency? Well, first of all, that's really about me. It's not about the sponsee, because I'm the one that has to learn how to set the limits. And I know the first sponsee I had no ability to set limits. I didn't even know what that meant. And she called me all the time, and she never called anybody else. And so, you know, that... What nice something that she called me all that time. What a kind and giving and blah, 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 dysfunctional, unhealthy sponsor I was. Because what I taught her is it's okay not to reach out to other people in the program. The first word, the first step is we. Not I, Chris Comer, did it by herself. It's we did it. And so the goal of the first step is to become a part of we. That's one of the goals of the first step. And but I didn't teach her that lesson. I said it was okay to only call me. I said it was okay for her to call me so that I would be even willing to put off my young son, you know, from paying attention to him or working on the other kind of commitments I had or getting sleep because I didn't want to say no. Well, what was that about? That was about my codependence. That was about my willing to want to be liked. That was about, I mean, you could fill in the blank with all kinds of things. So when I find that I'm in that kind of a situation, there's, as it says in the book, whenever I'm disturbed, whenever, there's something that's on my side of the street. And so for me, it was the inability and unwillingness to set those boundaries. And eventually, I said to her, if you don't start calling other people, I'm not going to be your sponsor anymore. And if you don't go to more than one meeting a week, I'm not going to be your sponsor. And I wasn't, because she quit. I'm sad about that, but I couldn't give it away because I didn't have it. And I was unwilling or didn't even know I needed help from somebody else to help me to get it. Here's another one that's pretty odious. My life is a mess right now, and I just don't have the time and energy to devote to a sponsee right now. What should I do? You know, I don't remember when I started. 5, 10, 15. Okay, 10 minutes. You know, my belief is that needs a fourth step. Because if my life is so busy right now, is that really true? It might be. It might be. You know? But it also may be that I'm way overcommitted. It also might be that I have compulsive working. It also might be that I don't know how to set limits or boundaries. It also might be that I want to keep busy all the time so that I don't have to do the growing up stuff, like paying my bills on a regular and recurring basis, like, you know, stuff I need to do at work. Or let me just say, I always did everything I was supposed to for work. It never played out there because why? Because that's the big thing that I used to saying, see how good I am? Look at all these awards I got. I can't possibly have compulsive eating, and I can't possibly be an addict and have alcoholism either, for God's sakes. So it never played out in work in that way for me. But if I'm out of balance and out of control, it makes sense that I'm out of balance because we're not balanced when we're eating. In any way, we're not balanced. I don't want to weigh and measure my food. I don't want to weigh and measure my time. I don't want to weigh and measure fun and play, which, you know, that always went first. I don't want to measure that. I don't want to weigh and measure. I have a sponsee who says, I always ate and used drugs to the extent to which I could get away with it. And I don't know, that may be a foreign thought to you, but, you know, the believing, you know, that what you eat when you're standing up doesn't count, you know, while you're cooking, you know, those people that do it on TV, they taste the food, but it's about achieving some kind of balance, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through getting enough sleep, whether it's through weighing and measuring my day and the responsibilities I have. Whether it's how much I talk to my sponsees or to my friends or how much I do stuff that I hate doing, you know, in my home, you know. So I need to look at that situation. Am I really unbalanced, you know, and that is contributing to disturbances in the force that are really because of the way I'm practicing my program? You know, is that what's going on? You know, am I starving to death spiritually? You know, we hear that the real problem was that we have a hole in the soul. You know, that the food is the symptom. It's the symptom of what the real problem is. And under the real problem are the character defects. I mean, this is the symptom. And then there are the character defects. But when those get laid down, then we get to the matter, the real matter, which is what is the starving about? What is the starving about? And for me, that starving has always been about a relationship with a power that's greater than myself, that I believe will do for me, will always, 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 in every circumstance, will do for me what I am unable to do for myself. So I have to take a look at that, you know, if I don't have the time or the energy. The other thing is, it might be something legitimate. I had, I can't remember what year this was. I think it was 01 or maybe 02. But I had really serious back surgery. I was out of work for 6 months, and I had 3 operations in 5 days up the front and the back, and I was just pitiful. And I mean literally. And I was on drugs, narcotics for a long time, and I'm grateful for those. Drugs aren't my problem, but I was grateful for whoever thought those things up. But I didn't have the energy. And sometimes the challenge for me is to admit I can't. And I couldn't during those periods. You know, my life wasn't in balance. The other thing that happened during that period, which I think is a very interesting, a very interesting thing, is this is where relapse begins, I think. My sponsor said to me, this was after I'd been home about maybe 6 weeks, and I was in tremendous pain. They didn't know if it would ever all go away. And I called my sponsor, and I'm bawling on the phone, and she says, so you may think this is sort of a stupid, you know, recommendation, but I'm wondering if you could maybe take your mind off yourself. Take your mind off yourself and make some calls to other people and not talk to them about your situation. I'm thinking, what the hell is the matter with you? They didn't know if I would walk. I have a walker. I have to pee on one of those things that's next to your bed. What do you mean, take my mind off myself? But you know what? Only keeping my mind on myself, where does that lead? You know, it says we are self-centered to the extreme. Not we're mildly self-focused. We are self-centered to the extreme. Oh, I was so pissed at her. But you know what? It was the right thing. It was the thing that helped me to kind of back up a little, helped me to have a larger view of the world, helped me to look at something beyond, you know, what was going on in my body, and to realize there was a whole lot that I was missing. I had just like we got telescoped with food, I had telescoped my whole life to be around when those pain pills were and what was going on, you know, and whether I was going to have an impacted bowel today or maybe next week. I mean, those were my areas of focus during that period. And it was craziness. So I think for me, as a sponsor, I need to take a look at it. Is it legitimate or not? And if it is, I need to talk to my sponsor, because if I could figure it out all myself, I would have, and I would have never weighed 300 pounds. And besides, like Dan said, you know, the name of the chapter is Into Action. It's not into thinking. It's not into researching. It's into action. It's about taking action. And talking to my sponsor is, you know, has always been. Also, somebody else talked about the rule of three. I have the rule of six. You call 6 other people. I say that to my sponsees and see what they have to say. I had a sponsee call me last year, or no, longer ago than that, and said, so I've decided I'm going to be taking diet pills. I said, what? Yeah, I've decided I'm going to take diet pills. So I'm starting tomorrow. And I said, wait a minute, you know, and my thought was, whether you take the diet pills or not, that's none of my business, really. That's between you and your doctor. But something like that, to not even discuss it with your sponsor, where does that lead? You know, is that a step toward relapse, taking back my own self-will? You know, and the other thing is, I am really good at dressing up my self-will to make it look like I'm St. Christina of Arlington, you know? It's not, like, overt and mean, but is it my will versus God sometimes? Oh, yeah. And my sponsor recognizes that far more quickly than I ever do, let me say. The next question is, I am in relapse. Should I continue to sponsor, and can I still be a good sponsor? My answer is no, you shouldn't sponsor, because when we're in relapse, our primary job is to stop eating compulsively, you know, and that means I need not, and it's not because I broke the rules and I relapsed. It's because I'm really sick, and so I need to go to intensive care. I need to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I need to write every day. I need to eat a different food plan. I need to, you know, whatever the particular thing is in my case, I need to spend my time doing those kinds of things rather than worrying about trying to sponsor somebody. The other thing is for my ego, I would just as soon think I can still sponsor people. But for me, when I'm able to step outside of it, or when I'm able to talk about it with my sponsees, what that allows me to do is to be in denial. If I am in relapse, do I really have what somebody else wants? If I'm in relapse, what's the story I'm able to give away? I'm in relapse and I'll show you how to be in relapse too. You know? So it's not because I've been a bad girl. It's because I need that time for myself and to do the things that my sponsor recommends. The other thing, you know, can I still be a good sponsor? I don't think that's the case, because I don't have enough perspective, you know, and because when I'm in relapse, it's all about me again. It's all about me. And so when I've picked that up, how available can I be to somebody else? You know, I can't. I also wanted to say one other thing about the relapse business is that, I forgot what I was going to say. Well, I can't remember. Oh, the thing about friendship. I heard a lot of really interesting things about that. And what I have told my own sponsees is I may end up being your friend, but that's not what our contract is. Our contract, I owe you the gift of being honest at all times. You know, not that I'm going to nag you to death every day, but I owe you, that is a precious gift, and I owe that to you as a sponsor. And I pray every day for the courage that I'm willing to do it. And just in hearing what we've heard today, I can see in a couple places where I've gone over that line and where I need to make some changes. It's not up to me that the person decides to recover or not, but it's up to me to be honest, and it's up to me to work my program in all my affairs, even if I would love to live with this person because it would be so fun and they're such a great friend. That's not the contract. So I guess that's all I have to say. I have loved sponsoring because I have learned so much from so many people all these years, and I've seen such tremendous courage that it gives me courage, you know, to keep doing the things, the simple suggestions. Anyway, that's all. Thanks.